everybody, to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm your host, Donovan Beery. I brought co-hosts Ben Luters.
Hello.
And Steve Gordon.
What's up, what's up?
And today's guest, we have, I do not want to pronounce your last, Lisa...
Vitale.
Mm-hmm. And you... This is actually a first for our show. I don't know what to think about this. We actually have a client here.
They're allowed.
Uh-oh.
Lisa made what we call a rookie mistake.
She's the best client.
Giving the client airtime.
Oh, God.
All right. And you are?
Sarah Lewis.
Sarah, what do you do?
I am a coordinator with the Visiting Nurse Association's Cooking Matters program.
Is that here in Omaha?
Or yes.
Is that
a... Yes, it's actually Cooking Matters is a national program, but Omaha is one of the programs with out of like the other 30 states in the United States.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Part of the local chapter.
Yeah, I'm okay. The local chapter.
And Lisa is the designer you guys been using for 3 years now?
Yeah, a couple years now.
Yeah. So she's helped us out quite a bit, but
Lisa, what brought you into finding this client, or what's the you guys had a story behind this?
Mm-hmm. When I moved to Omaha from New York, I was looking to actually potentially change careers. Moving to Omaha was a little bit scary, and I didn't know what the design climate was like, and if I'd find work with my old clients, etc. So I was looking into switching it up and maybe getting into some volunteer work, working with young kids and helping them teaching them how to cook healthy food on a budget. And so I started volunteering with Sarah as a chef in her program, Cooking Matters. So that's how we met.
You were actually cooking.
I was actually a chef. They called me
atypical.
A chef.
That's
yep.
Very cool.
Yes,
yeah.
Chef Lisa.
Chef Lisa. With and the kids, you know, they're any ages from, mm-hmm. like, I think most of them were 8 to mm-hmm. 13, you know, in the economically struggling areas of Omaha. So mm-hmm. it was those tough schools where they maybe didn't have mm-hmm. One hot lunch or hot meal a day, and that maybe we provided them after school.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a great experience.
Do you still cook there, or have you mm-hmm. moved your volunteer efforts towards other things?
Yeah, I've moved volunteer efforts exactly towards other things because I think I actually spend more time working with them mm-hmm. On the marketing design side as opposed to they have a 6-week program, 1.5 hours a day or 2 hours a day with travel. And now I think it's more, you know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 hours a week mm-hmm. when we do cool. projects. So it's mm-hmm. actually more time.
I'm a huge proponent of doing more than just your career mm-hmm. and how it feeds everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm terribly impressed, and I think that's awesome that you started out by cooking.
Yeah, just cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think...
It's a love of mine. It's a passion, another passion. Yeah. Like, you've got your shoes and your fashion. Yep. Cooking is a passion of mine. And mm-hmm. Sarah, you know, welcomed me into cook. And I was like, okay. Give me knives.
But the cool thing about that is, imagine the experience would have been different on the design side mm-hmm. had you not had the hands-on experience of mm-hmm. helping the kids, mm-hmm. cooking.
The connection.
Knowing the program. No, that's kind of how, and Sarah might agree with this, that's kind of how it came about when we started talking about their needs. And we saw this. I saw the struggle for getting other chefs and programs going forward. And I said, what do you guys need? Mm-hmm. And how can we help? How can I help you get there?
Yeah. Pardon the pun, but it flavors it.
Right.
Puns.
Are you trying to use it? Trying to slip in some puns.
That just happened.
Nice.
So actually, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what it'd be like if I actually just volunteered to do regular jobs at some of my clients' sites for, they'd probably be out of business.
There's a reason why this doesn't happen all the time.
Undercover designer, I like it.
Right,
It's an easy way in.
Yeah. So how did you go from being a volunteer to... of chef to actually being the designer? Was that a natural progression? Yeah.
Well, I think that, like, Lisa, you know, she started out and she has many talents, and so she was telling me about her background, and I'm like, well, would you like to teach some of our classes, you know, just trying to utilize her time? And then I think that, you know, it was just kind of like a point where I needed help on, like, recruiting the volunteer piece. I knew she had the strengths, like, with the marketing and the branding and that. So, and she had the ideas as well. So we just mm-hmm. decided to kind of build on that. And that's when we brought her in to kind of start helping out and, like, designing some new things. And she also had done some volunteer work for another program. And I really liked the idea. And I'm like, well, why can't we try that out with our program?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it happened. So
lots of lunch.
Yeah.
Just talking about what was needed and how I could help out.
Did she make mm-hmm. you cook the lunches too?
No, we would meet at various restaurants locally.
I should have, but...
I love that, like, running
cheap.
Yeah. No, cook one more meal.
Yes.
Here's a dance.
Yeah.
You passed the test.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we I think it just really naturally developed, which mm-hmm. is what's so nice. It wasn't forced. I wasn't looking to necessarily go out and do, like, mm-hmm. hey, I want to do pro bono work, or hey, I want to help out the community. It just really evolved from my my own, you know, natural and personal want to do it. Mm-hmm. And Sarah's willingness to let me in, I mean, that's, I was really surprised. So I think we just finally said, hey, here's a recipe contest of what we came up with. And we just mm-hmm. started talking about what is our, you know, what's your target audience? Who is it? What do you try to get? What's your main goal? And it was to get more chefs. So we started targeting restaurants and home chefs and school lunch chefs and that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. so we came up with the contest where they could get some PR out of going on talk shows like the, what's the local
Morning Blend.
And so mm-hmm. we got them, you know, on that. And, but the contest basically was called Recipe for Life, and it targeted, we bought a mailing list. They'd never done that before. We got them a nice mailing list that targeted the right people, mm-hmm. So the money was directed towards the right audience. Mm-hmm. It wasn't wasted.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting exercise to find the right audience also, because it most programs focus on the end user, mm-hmm. which, you know, the underprivileged
children.
Who needed the...
Right.
But you identified a more important need, which is to say that your end user was prevalent. Your end user is there,
right?
But your need was actually in the middle somewhere.
Right.
You needed the chefs,
yeah.
And that's a really good exercise.
And that was the good thing with like bringing Lisa on, is that I was lacking that part of my brain. Like, I was like, how do I do this? I have such a broad view, or everything that I've tried before hasn't worked. Right. So, what can we do creatively that's gonna, you know, get this accomplished?
And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Most clients have their end user in mind,
mm-hmm.
and that's where having a skilled creative
mm-hmm.
to find the other needs,
right?
That helps out.
What's your target? I think they had an idea, but was thinking maybe a little older, or maybe, you know, mm-hmm. these people need to have freedom during the day. They need to be able to have time that they can get away from, whether it's work or family.
Mm-hmm.
So are they single? Are they young? Are they students? Students don't have time. Students don't have, you know, gas money to get there. They can't afford to work for, you know, those hours. So we really targeted down to who these people were.
Right.
And that, I think, was one of the positives that came out of it.
Mm-hmm. Is this something that's ongoing, or was this like a one-time, this Recipe for Life thing, was this a one-time kind of campaign, or is this something that you guys repeat, or is it an ongoing thing?
Yeah. I hope it's repeated.
Yes. Well, right now, like, we're actually going through some structural changes at Cooking Matters. So, yes, we're definitely going to do it again. It's just trying to figure out, like, what's going to be the right time to do it, because it worked out really well the first time. And, our idea, actually, or Lisa's idea, actually, I should say.
No, it's our idea. It really is our idea.
Our national office actually really liked it. So they kind of took the idea to a national level and started a Cooking Matters recipe challenge as well. So, yeah, so it's something that definitely worked out. We're hoping to reach more people next time, and I'm looking forward to it.
If this has moved to a national level, where can our viewers or our listeners go to find more information about either Cooking Matters or about Recipe for Life?
Well, locally it's called Recipe for Life. Within our Cooking Matters program nationally, they just kind of offered it to the volunteers that are already volunteering. So where our goal was to get more volunteers, they were offering it to, like, as an incentive program for chefs that were already volunteering.
The national website or something like that, mm-hmm. if you want to look into it, would be Share Your Strengths, and then under Share Your Strengths is Cooking Matters.
Mm-hmm. Is that .com or .org?
It'd be
.org.
.org,
yeah.
And then locally she's got a blog.
.biz out.
Yeah.
Locally you can check out Sarah. You know, locally what she's doing continually is Cooking Matters Omaha.
It's www.cookingmattersomaha.org. And we also have a Facebook page that's Cooking Matters Omaha.
What do you cook out of?
We go around.
It is lunchtime.
Yes.
Steve is looking great.
Yes.
Steve is looking neat.
I got you for
me. Yes. We go around to various different host sites throughout Omaha. Mm-hmm. So what we do is our home base is the Visiting Nurse Association on 125th and West Center.
Okay.
And then we have very large bins, and we pack them up full of portable burners and griddles and all the cooking equipment, and we have coolers full of all the food, and we'll go to a host site, like say it's a school,
high
an
school.
After-school program. Yeah. As long as we have a table and access to a sink, we can do a cooking class. So,
the reason I ask is there's a tenant in the Mastercraft building here, which is one of the creative centers mm-hmm. downtown.
Oh, really?
Called Educated Baker.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
I would love to maybe make a link with you guys.
I would love to.
That's a really interesting program that they're doing, very similar,
mm-hmm.
which is they've built kind of a test kitchen.
Oh, mm-hmm. neat.
And so if you needed access to slightly larger equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be great. Yeah, we're always looking for like hubs in the community where we can, that way, because right now we're restricted to who we can offer the classes to. Usually through the host sites, they're the ones that recruit the participants, but if we had like other places in the community where we could go and offer it to more people, then that would be great.
Yeah.
So
that would be good.
Yeah.
I really like how you know, when you volunteer for something, whenever anyone asks like what we're working on around here, mm-hmm. the ones we're always most proud of are like normally we volunteer to do. Right. And a lot of times it started because we volunteered to do something small and we just kind of got attached to either the people or the cause.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, what do we call scope creep, I think is the term for it.
The scope creep.
That's a new one.
But that's also where it gets.
The dreaded scope creep.
It's where you volunteer for your like, oh, we're just going to do this little project and all of a sudden the scope of it just becomes acute.
That was Lisa.
I mean, I wanted to give them for every
But that's where it gets fun, though.
Yeah.
Because you feel an ownership. Obviously, I mean, you two, when you guys don't even know whose idea it was anymore, that's a successful collaboration.
Right.
Yeah. It really was. Yeah. And I think I really just wanted to add, even from the basics, you know, coming off the board of AIGA, where I was doing a lot of, finding a lot of help and support for them, I was trying to do the same for her. So finally finding, you know, we work with Trader Joe's, who gave us gift certificates and gift cards. So the prizes were all locally awarded. And then you guys had things like KitchenAid, a buy through the grant they had. And so the gifts were... And surprises were quite nice, and you know, just giving them sort of the support documents they needed to send out an email saying, "Hey, will you support us?"
Right.
You know.
Be
a partnership with us. That was helpful and for Sarah, because she didn't have any of that even basic documentation.
Exactly.
And stuff. So
it's very helpful.
No, that's great. All right, we're going to take a break, and actually, what we're going to do is we're going to segue into our new Diana's Valentine note.
Ooh. Ah, nice.
So Diana, take it away.
Hey, it's Diana Valentine from DianaValentine.com, and I'm going to share a little moment of inspiration that I found today on themugoftea.tumblr.com, and it is a poster that's from itsmokaytumblr.tumblr.com, and it's a poster. And it's a poster that totally inspired me, and I want to share it with you. The poster says, "Take chances, tell the truth. Date someone totally wrong for you. Say no. Spend all your cash. Get to know someone random. Be random. Say I love you. Sing out loud. Laugh at stupid jokes. Cry. Apologize. Tell someone how much they mean to you. Tell a jerk what you think. Laugh until your stomach hurts. Live life. Regret nothing." That's your moment of inspiration from Diana Valentine at DianaValentine.com. Big thanks to 36 Point for rocking the house.
And there you go. Your moment of inspiration there. Thank you, Diana. Oh. Thank you, Diana.
Nice.
Now that we've talked about doing good, let's talk about doing awesome things that everyone wants to do.
Mm.
Steve.
Oh, God.
You've got big news, man.
It's okay news.
It's not really a volunteer job, but Steve got his dream job.
Oh, dream I saw project. Your Twitter announcement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. I mean, this is a big, this is like.
Yeah, this is
amazing. When I saw that, I'm like, of all things Steve would want to do, this sounds like a project Steve would want to do.
It's kind of like a little leaguer being the bat boy at the World Series. You don't quite know that you're going to get in the game, but you're on the field and you're swinging wood.
All right.
Nice analogy. Thank you.
So what is it?
Really good video.
I recently was contacted by representatives of the Nike ID program.
Did you hang up and say, "Shut up, that's not
I
you"?
I did. I was like, "Donovan, you cut it out." And I hung up. They asked me, because of various reasons, and reasons that, kind of like we were talking, with passion and things like that, where you take a chance, things that don't seem like they're going to pay off or be anywhere related to your career or a project you're working on or anything, but I'm very passionate about streetwear, fashion, footwear of all kinds. I love women's heels, but I can't wear them, so I have to do sneakers. I have to do sneakers.
Buy them for your wife.
Exactly. So they contacted me because of the intersection of all those things, and that I talk very openly about them, and they asked me to design a custom shoe for purposes of showing what people can do with the Nike ID program.
Cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So where do we get some ridiculous shoes?
If you go to rdqlus.com, you'll be able to see a short video that I posted showing some of the highlights of going through the process. And I'm asking people to kind of vote and give some opinion on the five sneakers that I've put up. And hopefully, I'm trying to see if they will put those up as a template on Nike.com so that people can use those as a starting point.
That's fantastic.
I mean, that's combining those passions and whether it's food, design bags. I just recently did for that project too.
Yeah.
I get to design bags for reusable bags. Again, it's kind of a do-good project, but I got paid for that one, and I enjoy getting paid for what I love to do. Yeah. So I think I can't wait to see what you come up with.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we had really? David, for those who listened for a while, we had David Berman on the show about a year and a half ago or so. And he wrote the book Do Good, and he's got the design crossed out because he doesn't really care. But his whole thing is that if everybody donates, you know, at least designers, 10% of your time to good projects, and he actually prefers that you get paid for them because you're more likely to be able to do that.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's one thing I wasn't concerned about. I really went into it with Sarah saying, I don't want any payment. I think when you go into it with that mentality, it was helpful for me just to give my time. That's if I start getting paid for it, then I feel like sometimes I was going to get attached to that.
Now, that's an interesting crossroads and an interesting point. Do you feel that the client needs to value the work to keep that relationship good and to keep the work moving forward? Because, you know, there's an old adage that price is what you pay, value is what you get.
No, I think the client needs to value your work. I don't know if they have to value it with money.
Right. I think she always did. I think the reason with Sarah as being one of the greatest clients to work with, whether paid or not, is because they always did value my insight or my thought process or my ideas, and she and never felt like it was being abused or taken advantage of.
And that's
why
I'm
always gracious about it. So I think if that started to happen, even if I wasn't getting paid, I might have pulled back.
And that's why I bring it up to establish some.
I don't
kind
like spec. I don't think pro bono means free. I think pro bono is do good, is, you know, public, but you could get paid for it too. Why not? You know, it's what we do. So
No, I think that's great. Well, Sarah, we really appreciate you being on the show. I hear you have other places to be.
Yeah, thanks for coming up.
Gotta run the community.
Of course, of course.
Get to make lunch.
Of cooking,
Of course.
All right, well.
Somebody's hungry.
I know, let's follow. We have to follow her tour next.
What are you guys doing? There's an app for that.
We'll be right back with full little bellies. All right, so for all of our listeners, we actually have, once again, we actually have now put, if anyone actually goes to 36point.com, I think more people just download the show. No one even knows we have a site.
Thank you, iTunes, for existing.
I see the web stats, and it's like, people download the show, and thank you. We love our listeners. And we go to the site, and it's like, I don't know if anybody ever visits this.
I think I'm the only one that listens through the site. I'm like the one.
I do
person.
Too.
Did you stream?
I do.
It doesn't stream through the site.
You know, but regardless, we just announced last week. By the time the show goes up, we talked about another Super Bowl, the Super Bowl our 36 Pints event. So we're gonna have the first one will be next week, March 5th at 11:19. We're just having a happy hour for designers.
Next week?
It's coming up. It will be next week. When this goes live.
Because we are recording this in the future.
I totally forgot that I was in the future, man.
You're a week into the future.
Time travel is rough on a guy's head.
That's right.
Seriously.
And we have actually put up the April 11th, 2012 event, Meet at the Homie Inn. And you can just go. You can go to Sardines. Oh, it's
I know. I'm not in. I know. I think Nate's.
Oh, it's weird.
What you can do is you can just stop. You know, you can go to Sergeant Pepper's across the street. You can put in your order and tell them that you'll be at the Homie.
Do they pass it over?
Yeah, they'll walk it. They'll
just kind of toss it.
Yeah,
they throw it across
the window.
They'll hands across America, bring it over to you.
We've only set locations for those places, but we're open. We're going to do these monthly, chime in with where you think we should meet next, and we might pay attention. But at any time, you go to the 36 Point homepage, and we'll have a 36 Pints logo there. You can thank you for the logo, Ben. By the way,
you're welcome for the logo.
You didn't really.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Good.
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's excellent.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa.
And you can click there, and we'll have an updated tally of where the next events will be. So, We'd love to meet our Omaha area listeners in person if possible.
Or drive in from a faraway state. It doesn't matter.
You'll get a free beer. You know, if I'm there, I'll
Here's
buy
the
you.
Deal. If you're looking for an excuse to come to Omaha anyway, you might as well just do it on a Wednesday because that seems logical.
There you go.
During the middle of the week, take a break.
Yeah. Yeah. So please set your vacation schedules based on the 36 pints events.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Now, Lisa. You consider yourself, since your client's gone, we can talk about your other work. I assume you have other clients.
I do have other clients.
And your company is called Brand Hero?
Yes, sir.
So you consider yourself a brand hero, and what is...
Very bold.
I don't
see a cape.
I know. I went through that phase of my design process, of course, my branding process. Of course, there was...
Capes get caught.
There are capes. That's right. That's right. I saw that movie and I thought, no capes. No, I mean, it's just the idea that, you know, we work with these clients who have some big goals and they have all these ideas and they don't know how to maybe delegate them or you know, find that process. So I really just wanted to be... Find the solutions. Find those creative solutions. That's what we do. We find, you know, problems and we find ways to get it done and get it done looking good, maybe if we can get that in there too, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, I just wanted to be sort of successful with the good design. And
where do people go online to find your work?
Brandherocreative.com has my portfolio. Everything from styling to bag designs to cooking matters, non-profit pro bono work, so a little bit of everything.
I think I saw like you directed some photo shoots too.
Yeah, art direction. I come from photo art direction with fashion. Mm-hmm. That's my love, my passion. Somehow I got into cooking and all that stuff.
You have a lot of passions. I think it's safe to say, Lisa.
I do, and I really try to as much access to all those passions, whether it's... Mm-hmm. I feel like my life, you know, my personal life and my professional life really cross over so much, and that's what I think keeps me going. I'm not stuck doing one thing all the time. So.
That's awesome.
No, I think that's always great. And all of a sudden, I just see it on Twitter and Facebook because I don't follow it closely, but is the Omaha like fashion scene like coming up and coming
fashion
or something?
They're always
starting
out
to.
There.
It bubbles up every year, especially around the summer. I think they usually have it the week before New York Fashion Week or the week after. So it's usually around fashion times of year for the fall and spring. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, but there's lots of new designers bubbling up out of the works. And I think it's more citywide. Our music venues are coming up and being more well-known. We get better acts that come through. The design community's starting to get more and more recognition for... And not just design, but the creative community on the whole is starting to get more and more recognition.
Yeah. I think that's why I feel, you know, definitely a visual thinker, creative. I don't label myself as a graphic designer. I do quite a bit of graphic design work, but I also do, like I said, packaging. And it could be a set or a photo shoot.
Art direction of any kind.
Visual direction of any kind. I'll do it.
It's really... And I think that's actually more and more common that some people get either really specialized or sometimes you get in the market and you kind of do what you want to do and then you just fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Like creative duct tape.
That's
a great name.
It's not meant to be that way, but you use it.
That's right.
If I want to stay in this market, then I either have to specialize heavily in one thing or I either have to do what
Branch
I really
out.
Want to do and then just duct tape it together.
Just be bored.
Fill in the gaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what, you know, coming from New York, from fashion to Omaha, and I didn't even know there was a fashion scene, to be honest. I mean, I didn't even look into it highly. I just started with the design and getting involved with the AIJ and graphic design kind of crowd. But, yeah, there really isn't a huge, huge population of retail and fashion design that I could really be involved in.
So. No, but I think, obviously you got to have other outside interests than just one thing.
Completely.
I do anyway. I know some people are just focused on one, but I just can't.
I don't know very many of them anymore, though. I'll be honest, I don't know.
It's really tough to do. I think the days of that are changing, you know, going out with the you know, 18-hour work day, woe is me, I stayed at the office all night.
At the computer.
That as a badge of honor, I think, is slowly starting to go away in lieu of the respect of having a much wider scope, a much wider view of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're stuck at your computer, you're not doing the very thing that feeds your creative juices, which, you know, we've talked about that a lot of times on the show.
I remember back in New York when I first started out, I think my second, I was a graphic designer, my second job in the city, I was probably 26 or 7, I don't remember really. And they, I remember I was getting fired because I was looking for other work and they found out. And this woman who couldn't stand me took over the creative director and she said, "You don't work late enough. You're not here at 8, 8:30, 9. And I just thought, oh gosh, this is not where I want to be going. And, you know, took another great job and had a great opportunity in New York. And that was a big agency and it was still allowed you to have freedom.
Yeah.
But I was just, that terrified me. That was not what I wanted.
That was going to be the norm. You were going to have to
work
kill
past 8:30 to do any good.
No. I hope she's listening.
Yeah.
No.
I won't mention any names.
You know, if you're going to work 18 hours, at least have half of it be on your own work.
Exactly.
That's right. And not get fired for it.
Until 9, have it be because you have a Street Fighter machine.
Or Santa
that will be on during the first 36 Pints event.
Yes.
There will be free Street Fighter, there will be beverages, and there will be cookies.
Step up
and cookies.
Step up and get digi-smacked.
Challenge Donovan. All right,
you know, actually, this reminded me, Steve, I think one of the first times we had you on the show might even be a design cast. We said, you know, maybe it was like a dream project show. Uh-huh. It was like shoes, and we're trying to get our listeners to hook you up with the shoe thing.
I remember that.
So now that that's happening, and let's see, you're making your own. I see a hat. I see a scarf. I see a T-shirt.
Yeah, I'm really not in my own clothing.
I am going to, and even your own ridiculous tattoos.
I'm not calling
the tattoos ridiculous. I'm just saying they're ridiculous brand tattoos.
Yeah.
I think. Our next call for our listeners out there, we need to hook Steve up with a watch company and a jean company.
I work for a jean company. Yes. I can hook you
there
up.
Mavi jeans and jewelry are the only thing this guy is missing.
The only thing.
Mavi jeans, maybe we can
hook you up. We should totally do it. I love dark denims.
And then he'll go full Rockefeller where, you know, you own top to bottom, everything.
Yeah. It's a bow tie.
Oh, I would love to do
The guy who works as a designer for Mavi, one of the designers, has his own bow tie company, too. So.
And I'm looking
And probably socks and undergarments.
Yeah, I'd like undergarments.
We might as well.
I think he does his own underwear.
If you're already doing watches and jeans and you already got everything else, you might as well just finish up the socks
why
and undergarments.
Not?
Socks are probably hard.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
I don't know. If anyone knows a sock place that we're seeing
I want to connect
socks
with. I want to connect with Artifact Bag Co. here in town and do a specialty bag, and then inside the bag I will put socks and undergarments.
Well, you've actually done a bag, so
yes,
that's
I've done a bag,
you need no help with bags.
Okay, so
you've already got that.
Watches,
I'm just looking at your new dream project here.
I like watches.
Watches, yeah,
watches
I know watches.
And denims, man. That's a good car.
That's an expensive one right there.
It's a
watches.
Good one.
That would be a little investment.
Well, I'm not saying we have to hook him up with a good watch company.
Oh,
right.
Wait.
This could be Walmart's new $10.
I'm not talking about
Walmart. You could see those like $2 watches Burger King sells every
day. Or like the Armatron knockoff of Swatch.
And it wouldn't matter.
As long as he can brand it, yeah. I mean, he just needs to wear one.
Exactly.
Yeah, put it next to the $5 carousel of glasses. I like that.
Itself.
Glasses. There's your neck. There's once we get the watches
nice.
And the pants. There's glasses.
You got a little list. It's kind of rolling. So
Donovan keeps my list for me. He scratches it off as we get it done.
Well, the shoes was the big one.
Shoes was huge, man.
I see all these others as just gravy. So let's work on them. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate you, Lisa.
Yes, Donovan. Thank you for being
our brand hero today.
Steve, thank you. Appreciate it.
Steve, Ben, thank you for co-hosting again,
thanks
and we will see you in a couple weeks with. We've got the next two shows lined up.
This is hard when we podcast from the future.
Yeah.
By the way.
I'm telling you,
to kind of gauge
so
time.
He thought it was like next week.
I forgot to eat for 2 weeks.
I think the next show will be with Justin Ahrens from Rule 29. He'll be back.
Ooh. Will he be in town?
No. Oh. No.
He's not welcome around here.
Through the magics of future internet.
Yeah, through the magics of Skype.
Tubes and
futures.
He will be on the show.
Series
we will
of
run.
Tubes.
I believe he's going to be in Boston, though. So we are going to have to see his face again.
I hate his face.
Yes.
I love him.
I'll be curious to see who this is.
Justin Ahrens?
Yeah.
He's awesome.
I just finished his book this morning.
He's a slice
of
awesome.
And he should be honored, too, because this Do Good Design book by David Berman, it was great.
Yeah.
I really liked it. It took me until I finally had a plane trip to go judge some Addies in Oklahoma City, and I finally finished reading it because I just started it. It takes me a while to get through books. Justin's book, I got through. I finished it this morning because I'm like, I'm going to read his book before I interview him. David's book I didn't even get until I interviewed him. So
it's incredible. It's an incredible idea.
All right, well, we're going to be talking about life training with Justin because the book's actually out.
Yep.
All right, we'll see you. Information at 36point.com.
Boom.
See you in 2 weeks.
Ciao.